by way of YouTube or Facebook or however else this goes out. Glad you're here with us. Our pastor is out today. He is not feeling well. Doing better than he was, but hopefully and prayerfully he'll be back next Sunday. God gave us an amazing book when he gave us his word. From Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 22:21, there is a scarlet thread that works its way and weaves in each book and each chapter and each word of this book all the way through that ties this one book together. 66 books, 27 in the New Testament and 39 in the Old Testament, written, many of them, thousands of years apart. But yet, they all tie together into one book. That's the way God designed it to be. In Genesis chapter 22, there's a story that took place. Very prophetic story about Abraham and Isaac. Isaac was Abraham's second son. His first son, Ishmael, I forgot. My mind's a mess. Ishmael, he was the son of the flesh. Isaac was the son of promise. Abraham and Sarah were well up in age, past the childbearing years, and then Sarah decided she wanted to have a son and couldn't have one, so she gave to Abraham Hagar, her handmaid. And Hagar had a son they named Ishmael. Ishmael was about 13 years older than Isaac. But God told Abraham, that is not the son of promise that he was talking about. He said, I'm going to give you a son in your old age and in Sarah's old age when she's past having children and she's going to have a son, and that's going to be the son that I've promised you. That is the son of promise. And that was Isaac. Isaac, his son. His son of promise. And Abraham's faith, he finally got it down, that faith thing. We all struggle at times with our faith, and Abraham, he struggled too. But he finally got that son of promise, and I believe Isaac was somewhere probably between 13, 16 years old, and God spoke to Abraham about his son. Let's look at the story here. Chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Sometimes God tests our faith, and that's what's going to happen here. Abraham's going to be tested. He said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Well, wait a minute, Brother Gary. That sounds like he wants Abraham to take his only son Isaac, take him up on a mountain and slay him, and offer him up for a burnt sacrifice. That's just what it said. Well, that's human sacrifice. Yeah, it is. But remember, God will never direct us to do something contrary to his word. There's a reason for what God does. There's a test that we go through, and Abraham's fixing to face a test, and we're going to see what happened. Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here. Now watch this. Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham's already showing some of his faith. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? You see, he'd watched his father make a sacrifice before. He watched his father would take a lamb that they had set aside and prepared that lamb, a special lamb, for an offering. And he would watch his daddy Abraham take that lamb and kill that lamb and put it on that offering and offer it up for a sacrifice. Isaac knew what the lamb was for. But there's no lamb here. Verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. I think by this time now Isaac's getting a little bit afraid. And laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took a knife to slay his son. Can you picture that? He's got Isaac, he bound him up, put him on the wood, and he lays him on that altar. And he takes his knife. Wait a minute. I put the cord in the wrong place, so I had to. Come on, there we go. And he takes out his knife. There's something wrong with this picture. I came prepared. I'm ready now for a sacrifice. People are thinking he's gone crazy now. When Robbie was just a little bitty guy at our church, I preached to the kids. We had children's church. Robbie's 3 or 4 years old. And I preached this sermon to the kids. I'm getting some looks real crazy. Well, Robbie was the sacrifice. I had a knife. It wasn't this knife. It was a plastic knife, but it was bigger, but it was plastic. I wouldn't do this today. But I had Robbie, I laid him on that bench, laid him out there, and I stood over him with that knife, and I'm going, yeah. I got you now. Had him scared there for a few minutes. But when Abraham raised that knife up to plunge it into Isaac, I guarantee you, Isaac was scared to death. He had no idea what was going to happen. And I can promise you, so was Abraham. He had no idea what was fixing to happen. All Abraham knew was that God told him, offer up your son, your only begotten son, the son of promise. Offer him up on the altar. And that's just exactly what Abraham. But as he's about to plunge that knife into Isaac, God stops him. He tells him, and he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. There's this ram that he offers up. Abraham had no idea what to expect. But remember, when God leads you to do something, he has a plan already laid out. We're to live our lives by faith. This is exactly what Abraham was doing, living his life by faith. God had everything already prepared. He may not tell us everything he's got prepared, but listen, when he leads us to do something, he's already got it laid out. We may not see it until when we get to that point, but he'll let us know how the plan's going as we go along, as we live for him by faith. But there's more to this story than just right here. Look at, turn over to Samuel, 2 Samuel 24. The story doesn't end right here. 2 Samuel 24. In chapter 24, David's king, and he's almost at the end of his life, and he decides he wants to know how many soldiers they have in their army. So he sends his captain Joab out. Go, you go into Israel and count all the soldiers. You go to Judah, count the soldiers, and see how many soldiers we have. Now Joab protested on this, doing this. We don't need to find out how many soldiers we have. We have God on our side. He's going to take care of everything. We don't need to do this. And the king's command was so important that he had to do it. So after 9 months, he comes back and gives the sum. In Judah, one of them had 800,000 men. The other side had 500,000 men. Over a million soldiers they had. But David realized he did wrong. And Gad came to David and said, you did wrong, David. You messed up counting. You didn't need to count. You have God on your side. He'll take care of us. He's always taken care of us all these years. There's no need to worry about how many men you have in the army when you have God on your side. So, David, you have three choices. You have 9 months where you're going to flee from the enemy. Or there's 3 months of let me think. Anyway, he told him, you got three choices to make. David finally said, let me not fall into the hand of men, and let me fall into God. And God sent pestilence for 3 days. For 3 days, an angel of God went around killing the military, taking the military away. 70,000 men died. When he got to Jerusalem, the death angel, God said, stay, it's enough. And David looked out. He could see that death angel there. And he knew right where he was. And Gad told David, you need to go up there, buy that parcel of land, and offer up a sacrifice for what has taken place. The man's name was Araunah. It was the threshing floor where he would thresh wheat. It was up on top of a mountain. And God said, you go over there, you buy that property from him so you can have us make a sacrifice. So David went over there, talked to Araunah. They finally made a deal, and David purchased that land right there on top of that mountain. Guess what the name of the mountain was? Mount Moriah. You go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 1 Chronicles chapter 21, you find the same story right there taking place. And David bought that land right there. But it still does not end right there. Remember what I said a while ago, that there is a scarlet thread weaved all through this book? It went through Mount Moriah with Abraham and Isaac. It's gone through Mount Moriah there with Araunah and David buying that parcel of land. And it doesn't stop there. Turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter number 3. Look at verse number 1. 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Now, in Samuel, 2 Samuel 24, his name was Araunah. And in 1 Chronicles 21, they called his name Ornan. It had to do because he was a Gentile, he was a Canaanite, and it was a matter of interpretation of his name. Same man, same place, piece of property, where that David purchased, that Solomon is now building the temple that God, David had set up and wanted to build, but God told him, no, you're not going to. Solomon's going to build the temple. He's building the temple on the same site. Mount Moriah was just outside Jerusalem. These guys were living by faith. They didn't know what was... They knew... And by the way, when Abraham saw what was taking place, God was showing him. He did not realize what he was seeing, but God was showing him something that was going to take place in the future. I want you to go back to Genesis 22. And quickly, I'll show you something. We're running out of time. There's so much here to see in this just chapter 22, in these first 14 verses, that takes place centuries, thousands of years later, would take place. When Isaac asked his father, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? His response was, God, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. He provided that lamb, a substitute lamb that came along and took the place of Isaac. But what Abraham may not have realized, just exactly what he was saying. Because one day, a sacrifice was going to have to be made for all of man. And what God, Abraham was saying to his son, is that God is going to provide himself that sacrifice. And that's exactly what happened. You see that red line that went through Mount Moriah with Abraham and Isaac. It went through the threshing floor of Ornan with David and Ornan. It went through where Solomon built the temple. That same thread has weaved its way all the way through to Mount Moriah and Jerusalem. In the time when Jesus was there, we know it as Mount Calvary. The same place, Mount Moriah. Because Abraham heard him. Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. That was prophetic that God was going to provide a lamb. God the Father was going to provide the lamb through God the Son and become our sacrifice. He offered up that ram in the place of his stead. There was another lamb that took our place, because it should have been us hanging on that tree. Jesus took our place. And he said the last part of there, the mount of the Lord, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Because he knew one day on Calvary's mountain our Savior was going to hang. Our Savior was going to hang there and take our sin that should have been on us, and it was placed on his back. The wood. They lived by faith. And they saw something, maybe not realizing exactly what it was, but they knew one day something was going to take place that was going to change the world altogether. These men that we talked about over in Hebrews chapter 11, they all lived by faith. They all looked for a city. They all looked forward to something else. They lived by faith. We're to live the same way. We've got this book here that God gave us to lead us and guide us and direct us, that strengthens our faith, even in times of trial. We live by faith. But Brother Gary, things have changed so much in this world. Things are constantly going to change. Because that's the world we live in. With sin it's because of the sin that's in the world that it constantly changes. But one thing doesn't change. Is this book doesn't change, and us living by faith doesn't ever change. We're to live the same way as we did 15 years ago. And boy, have things changed. Things have changed drastically in the last year. Not just here in the United States, but around the entire world. It's changing faster than we can keep up with anymore. But faith doesn't change. God's so designed the Christian life to be lived by faith that it don't change. Whatever happens tomorrow is going to happen. Well, you and I still live by faith one day at a time. That's how God designed the Christian life. And by the way, God hasn't changed. No matter what happens, God's still on the throne. No matter what happened yesterday, he was on the throne yesterday. And no matter, we can't see tomorrow, but guess what? He'll still be on the throne tomorrow. And no matter what happens, but we can't see into the future, he already knows what's taking place. And he's already prepared a way. Just like he prepared a way for those guys to see what they saw and that red line going all the way through that book. He prepared every bit of it. And no matter what, we don't know what to expect. We don't know what's going to take place. But he does. And he's prepared a way for us to get through it. And it's by way of living by faith. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. I know this world's a mess. We all know that. We all know that we don't know what to expect some days. But you know what's taking place. And help us, dear God, keep ourselves in your word. Help us keep our down on our knees in prayer and keep our eyes on you and what you have for us. And realize you got it in control. And you have us in your care and in your control. And you will guide us and lead us long as we keep our eyes of faith on you. We ask your blessing on today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing a song.